भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, entitled The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura. And today we will do texts number 46 and 47. Right? And I think you have number 47 on the board. So, begins Pritoham Vasura Sreshta. Okay. So I'll just chant for number 46 first. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Okay, you can try. Atayvam Irito Rajan. You volunteered. Sadaram Tridashair Harihi. Swam Upasthanam Akarnya. Prahatan Abhinandetah. Pretty good. Sri Shukdev Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, when the demigods offered the Lord their sincere prayers in this way, the Lord listened by his causeless mercy. Being pleased, he then replied to the demigods. Please chant. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pritoham Vasura Sreshtha, Madubasthana Vidyaya, Atmaishwarya Smriti Pungsam, Bhaktishchaiva Yayamati. Sorry, there should be mayi. Bhaktishchaiva yayamayi. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Pritoham Vasura Shreshtha. Madupasthana Vidyaya. Atmaishwarya Smriti Pungsam. Bhaktishchaiva yayamayi. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pritoham Vasura Sreshtha, Madupasthana Vidyaya, Atmaishwarya Smriti Pungsam, Bhaktishchaiva Yayamayi. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Sritoham Vasura Sreshtha, Madupasthana Vidyaya, Atmaishwarya Smriti Pungsam, Bhaktishchaiva Yayamayi. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pritoham Vasura Sreshtha, Marupasthana Vidyaya, Atmaishwarya Smriti Pungsam, Bhaktishchaiva Yayamayi. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pritoham Vasura Sreshtha, Marupasthana Vidya, Atmaishwarya Smriti Pungsam, Bhaktishchaiva Yayamayi. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pritoham Vasura Sreshtha, Madupasthana Vidyaya, Atmaishwarya Smriti Pungsam, Bhaktishchaiva Yayamayi. Mataji's. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Pritoham Vasura Sreshtha. Vyasana Vidyaya. Atmaishwarya Smriti Pungsam. Bhaktischaiva Yayamayi. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Pritoham Vasura Sreshtha. Manubasthana Vidyaya. Atmaishwarya Smriti Pungsam. Shaiva Mayamayi. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Spritoham Vasura Sreshtha. Madhubasthana Vidyaya. Atmaishwarya Smriti Pungsam. Bhaktischaiva Yayamayi. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Pritaha, pleased, aham, I, vah, of you, surasreshtha, O best of the demigods, mat upasthana vidyaya, by the highly advanced knowledge and prayers offered unto me. Atma Aishwarya Smriti. Remembrance of the exalted transcendental position of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pungsam of men. Bhaktihi. Devotional service. Cha. And. Eva. Certainly, yaya, by which, mayi, unto me. Translation. I'm going to read the two of them together. This is text 46. Shri Shukdev Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, when the demigods offered the Lord their sincere prayers in this way, the Lord listened by his causeless mercy. Being pleased, he then replied to the demigods. Now kindly repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O beloved demigods, you have offered your prayers to me with great knowledge, and I am certainly most pleased with you. A person is liberated by such knowledge, and thus he remembers my exalted position, which is above the conditions of material life. Such a devotee is fully purified by offering prayers in full knowledge. This is the source of devotional service to me. The Supreme Personality of God had said, O beloved demigods, you have offered your prayers to me with great knowledge, and I'm certainly most pleased with you. A person is liberated by such knowledge, and thus he remembers my exalted position, which is above the conditions of material life. Such a devotee is fully purified by offering prayers in full knowledge. This is the source of devotional service to me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Uttama Shloka, which means that He has offered prayers with selected verses. Bhakti means Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho, chanting and hearing about Lord Vishnu. Impersonalists cannot be purified, for they do not offer personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though they sometimes offer prayers, the prayers are not directed toward the Supreme Person. Impersonalists sometimes show their incomplete knowledge by addressing the Lord as being nameless. They always offer prayers indirectly, saying, "You are this, you are that," but they do not know to whom they are praying. A devotee, however, always offers personal prayers. A devotee says, "Govindam Adipurusham Tam Aham Pajami." I offer my respectful obeisances unto Govinda, unto Krishna. That is the way to offer prayers. If one continues to offer such personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is eligible to become a pure devotee and return home, back to Godhead. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. This discussion or this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam has now turned a corner because, as Jiva Goswami points out in his commentary, the demigods have very clearly stated their anxiety, their anxious intention, rather, by way of offering these beautiful prayers, which it's a little bit ironic. Krishna describes them as mat upasthana vidya. Of course, the word vidya means a few things, but in this context, Srila Prabhupada translates it as prayers offered with great knowledge. There have been different things stated about this particular passage. First of all, in the previous text, we had the word tridashayar. Sadaram tridashayar irito harihi. The Lord was worshipped by, with great respect, by the tridashas. What does tridasha mean? Anyone know? Three means three. Dasha means? Sorry? That's dasa. This is dasha. Disha is directions. Dasha sometimes is also directions because there's ten of them. But in this case, dasha simply means ten, the literal meaning of the word, ten. By the 30, the Lord was pleased. What does that mean? He was pleased by the 30. In the Shastras, sometimes we have generalizations. Here the word, the number is actually rounded off. It should be 33. Does that give you a hint? How many demigods are there? Yeah, 33 different numbers are given. I was mentioning the other day in the, I think it's in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Yajnavalkya was asked how many gods are there. And he said, if I'm not mistaken, 333 million or something like that. And then the question was repeated, and he said, well, there's actually 33. And then the question was repeated, and he said, well, there's actually just six. And then the question was repeated, and then he said, there's one. So tridasha actually stands for 33 because the demigods are classed according to the primary, their major representatives, you can say, which are 33 in number. Anybody know what that number stands for, or who is represented by that number? According to Madhvacharya in the 7th canto, he is quoting from the Smriti, Aditya Vasavo Rudras Trividha Hi Surayataha. The suras are they're divided into 33 categories, headed by the Adityas, by the Vasus, and by the Rudras. Marutashchaiva Vishvecha Sadhyashchaiva Chatadgataha. And even here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it actually changes from time to time, the number of demigods. It's not really so hard and fast. It's kind of like a couple of years ago, I remember there was some discussion amongst the GBC that what does it mean to be an ISKCON member? It's not so clear cut. And some of them are demigods and some of them are not technically demigods, but they're included in demigods. Who's a demigod who's actually not a demigod? Ashwini Kumars, I would say, are their demigods, but I'm thinking of, because Madhva mentions them here, the Maruts. Who were the Maruts born of? Kashyapa and? The Maruts were born of which mother? Diti. And Diti is the source of all the demons. So how is it that they're included in this list? There's a story behind that Diti had observed this Vaishnava ritual in order to kill Indra. Indra took note of this and he looked for some flaw in her performance of the ritual, and he got into her womb somehow and he chopped up her embryo into 7 pieces and then again into 7 pieces, comes out to 49. So just as here we have a list of Tridasha 30, which actually stands for 33 million, similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, I think it's chapter 10, verse 21, in the purport, Prabhupada says there are 50 Maruts. Sometimes it's rounded off. So these are an example of demons who are actually, they've been elevated to the status of devotees because of their, Prabhupada says they became Vaishnavas, or at least he implies that, where their story is given in chapter 18 of the same canto. Later on, we'll come up to that. That's an interesting question. Are the Gandharvas considered demigods? Yes, they are sometimes, but not in this list. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it discusses Vaivasvata Manu, the current administration of this universe, it says, Aditya Vasavo Rudra Vishvadeva Marudganaha. So he adds the Vishvadevas to that list. And then he says, Ashvino Ribhuvo Rajan Indrastesham Purandraha. So the Ribhus, the Ashvins, the Maruts, the Vishvadevas, the Rudras, and the Vasus, and the Adityas. Those are the demigods in this particular age. It would seem that they change according, just like when a new president comes in, he chooses a new cabinet. So sometimes the number of demigods and, you know, because people's activities determine their future or their reputation. Some of them are elevated sometimes, some of them are degraded. Sometimes they're no longer in grace, as we say, something like that. Anyway, that's just a note on the complexity of life in this material world and one's status within that. Now, one of these Adityas, who is considered to be a devata, is Tvashta. And Tvashta is the father of Vishwarupa. And it's on account of Vishwarupa's murder by Indra that we have this Rudrasura giving problems to the devatas right now, isn't it? So what's Tvashta's condition? How is it that Vishwarupa had sentiments for the demons? Does anyone remember? We've already been through here. Because his mother was a demon. Tvashta, even though he was an Aditya, he married one of the demons. That's a complex situation as well. We can see, and we should see, analogs within our own lives, complicated situations and relations like this. So Indra, Mitra, Varuna, Dhata, Tvashta, Savita, Angshu, Bhaga, Surya, Pusha, Vamana Deva. These are in Ramayana and also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these are listed as the Adityas. Similarly, there are 11 Rudras listed elsewhere in the sixth canto. And without naming them, does anyone know what these 11 Rudras stand for? They're either expansions of Shiva or they're considered to be the potency of Shiva, which activates our 10 knowledge-acquiring senses plus the mind, according to some authorities. Those are the Rudras. And Vasus, there are how many Vasus? 8 Vasus. Ashtavasus, Drona, Prana, Dhruva, Arka, Agni, Dosha, Vastu, and Vibhavasu. Generally, these are personifications of the elements that we see all around us. They're very powerful. But Drona in particular was... does anyone know who Drona was? Sorry? I can't hear you. Bhishmadev? No. Who was Drona? Think Drona and Dhara. Does that give you a hint? When Vasudev and Devaki are existing amongst the Vasus, they are known as Drona and Dhara. When they are existing in Gokula, they are known as Nanda and Yashoda. And when they are existing in Mathura, they are known as Vasudev and Devaki. You see how complex these things are getting? So, plus all of these individuals, they all have families, they all have children, and it expands, and therefore you get 333 million or so on of the devatas. Now, that gives you a sense of scope here. And, of course, add to that list the two Ashwins, or sometimes some people say Indra and Prajapati as well, are the extra two. That comes to 33. Therefore, we have these 33 devatas. Now, amongst all these demigods, Krishna addresses them as here as Surasreshtha. They're the best of the demigods who are offering these prayers, but they're not entirely pure, as Jiva Goswami has pointed out. They have said many, many wonderful things we've been hearing. Beautiful, just like yesterday, had such a wonderful verse. I'll read it again. O Lord, O Supreme Pure, you live within the core of everyone's heart and observe all the desires and activities of the conditioned souls. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Lord Krishna, your reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning, for you are the beginning of everything. This is understood by pure devotees because you are easily accessible to the pure and truthful. When the conditioned souls are liberated and sheltered at your lotus feet, after roving throughout the material world for many millions of years, they attain the highest success of life. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we offer our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. And as we heard yesterday, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given wonderful comments on that verse, which we gain by the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada. So they're kind of rounding off their prayer nicely like that, but still they have this intent desire that, please kill your devotee. This is ultimately what they're asking the Lord to do. Please help us kill your devotee. And not only their devotee, but in fact their family member. Isn't it? In a sense. According to some Puranas and some sources, actually Vritrasura appeared from the yajna of Kashyap Muni directly. That's another version of the same story. Either way, they're all in the same family. And just as Indra had to apologize to Diti for chopping up her sons and into the 49 Maruts, he addressed her as mother, or auntie, rather. We call an elder, respectable person as auntie or uncle. So in this way, they're all family members, and they're fighting. But the best of them have offered these prayers, according to Lord Krishna here, and mad upasthana vidyaya. That brings us back to this word vidya. Vidya means what? Knowledge, in general. And according to Krishna, in the Brahma Purana, when the Govardhan Leela is discussed, Krishna is preaching to his father about Karmakanda, and there he also points out for us, vidya is traditionally considered to be of four categories. Trayi, that means to memorize the Vedic mantras. That's one kind of vidya, it's a science. Nyaya is another kind, which is logic. Aniti, which means politics or character, that's another kind of vidya. And finally, vritti, or occupational duties. In the modern day and age, mostly people emphasize vritti. When you go to college, sometimes they're even called polytechnical colleges, you're just learning different kinds of vritti, different kinds of occupational expertise. And that's considered to be a kind of knowledge. Now, significantly, Manu, the author of the Manu Smriti, the law book for human society, he adds a fifth mode of vidya, which he calls Atmavidya. And of course, that's all important. And especially for today's verse, if you look at the third line, first word, Atmaishvarya Smriti. This is the point. The acharyas point out here that By this, vidya also means mantra, as we mentioned already. And if you look at the concluding verse of the last chapter, that's the 42nd verse of the 8th chapter of this canto, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes two things there. Number one, that vidya is a kind of mantra. And number two, that the person who gives you that mantra is your guru. So Indra has killed his guru. Not only has he offended his guru Brihaspati, but he's killed his mantra guru Vishwarup. So he's having problems, understandably. So here we finally come to the real point, which is that by chanting this mantra, one will come to Atma Ishwarya Smriti. This is what several of the acharyas have pointed out in their comments on this verse. Particularly I'm thinking of Vira Raghava Acharya and also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They basically teach us that to the extent that one's prayers or one's vidyas are permeated by bhakti, to that extent, one gains Atma Aishwarya Smriti. Atma Aishwarya Smriti. Let's break these words up. Atma means self or spirit. Aishwarya, what does that mean? Glory, majesty, lordliness, right? And Smriti means remembrance. So Jiva Goswami says very nicely, Atma jivascha ishvarascha atmeshvarao. Because the jiva is the lord of himself in some sense. He's the lord of the mind and body. In that sense, he's also considered to be Ishvara. Or Atma means the jiva. But Atma also means the Ishvara, the lord. So therefore we have Anuatma or Jivatma, and we also have Paramatma or the Lord. Both of them are applicable in this case. Srila Prabhupada has emphasized the Lord's position as Atma. And he said, Srila Prabhupada is in this verse interpreting Atma Ishvarya Smriti to be remembrance of the dominance of the Lord. Aishwarya in this sense means dominance. Other acharyas have given different insights. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive. Vijayadwaj Tirtha says, madupasthanam swavishayam stutim, that upasthana means a prayer or a stotra, which is swavishayam, dealing with the Lord himself. And he says, atmaishwarya smriti means the paramatma, Mahatmya Smriti, the glory. He's remembering the glory of the Lord. So when we absorb ourselves in studying these prayers, then we can remember two things. We can remember the fact that we are the Lord of the mind and the body because we are transcendental to them. Asaṃsārika, many acharyas have said about this, beyond this world. And we can also remember that the Lord is the master of all things, including all of our minds and bodies, of which we think that we're the independent masters. This was one of the prayers that these devatas had already offered. We are an illusion because we think that we're independent of you. So some of the things that are so wonderful in the prayers that they've offered here, Sridhar Swami has particularly drawn our attention to text number 39 of this chapter, which I'll read. Therefore, O killer of the Madhu demon, incessant transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who have even once tasted but a drop of the nectar of the ocean of your glories. That's actually the wrong verse, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's actually quoting text number 36. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all contradictions can be reconciled in you, O Lord, since you are the Supreme Person, the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities, the Supreme Controller. Your unlimited glories are inconceivable to the conditioned souls. Many modern theologians argue about right and wrong without actually knowing what is actually right. Their arguments are always false and their judgments inconclusive because they have no authorized evidence with which to gain knowledge of you. Because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusions, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusion, their theories are incapable of revealing you, who are transcendental to their material conceptions. You are one without a second, and therefore in you, contradictions like doing and not doing, happiness and distress are not contradictory. Your potency is so great that it can do and undo anything as you like. With the help of that potency, what is impossible for you? Since there is no duality in your constitutional position, you can do everything by the influence of your energy. So these are some of the things that the devas have stated here. And we can think about this, we can extrapolate from this, that these devas are fighting each other because each of them thinks that the other one is wrong, or that they have been wronged, or the other one has been wronged. This is a question of judgment, and in the 11th canto, Krishna says what about the judgment of people with partial realization? Anyone know this verse? Atma aparijnanam ayovivado hyastiti nastiti bhirarthanishtha. When someone has incomplete realization, he's very firmly, he's intransigently fixed in his position, convinced that he knows what's really right and what's wrong. But Indra has already, Yamaraj has already said earlier in this canto, he's given this whole list of all these demigods and more than we've already mentioned, and he said none of these people actually knows what the truth of dharma is. Remember that? Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Only God knows what really is dharma and what is not dharma. And maybe we can qualify that by saying, mahajano yena gata sapanta, that person who is blessed by God, he knows the truth of religious principles, dharmasya tattvasya nihitam guhayam, because he holds it within his heart. So persons are bhidarthanishtha, they're very firmly fixed in their position of differing from and arguing with other people. And Krishna says, such people don't actually realize that they have turned themselves away from me by that process of judging and arguing with each other and trying to defeat each other by their incomplete realizations. Naivo parameta pungsam, he says. But they're unable to give it up because they've actually turned away from him. So this judgment is not a very good thing. We have to be very careful and recognize our position. After all, we're looking at the picture of the Sura Shreshthas, the best of the devas here. And they are so covered over, even though they are vastly superior to all of us in every material qualification, spiritually they remain covered over to the extent that even though they have chanted this Vishnu mantra perfectly, and even though Vishnu has personally appeared to them, they're asking for the benediction instead of devotional service, eternal life in loving reciprocation with Krishna, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentioned yesterday, they're asking for the benediction that they can kill another one of their brothers with whom they have some petty squabble on the basis of their incomplete realization. They're asking this from Lord Vishnu, who could give them anything eternal that they want. And how much this must hurt the Lord's heart when he hears it. Because after all, Vritrasura, we know, he's a devotee in the guise of a demon. So sometimes we find ourselves in similar circumstances. We come and we prostrate ourselves flat before the spiritual master or before the Lord, but because we're less civilized than the demigods, we don't make an explicit prayer to the Lord when we want to smash one of our enemies. We just manipulate, what do they call this, social engineering. We spread some malicious gossip, or we try to, you know, allow the person to continue down the wrong path without correcting him in order to let him hang himself because we've given him enough rope. These are the subtle ways in which we do the same thing, but in a more demoniac mode, representative of the socialization that we've received in this human form of life. So, therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, tadapi adhruvam arthadam. Although this human form of life is very rare, but it's arthada. It can give you great things of great value. So we need to go back to the very beginning and recognize what is shreyas as opposed to preyas. what's ultimately or preeminently excellent as opposed to what's immediately appealing. Long-term benefit as opposed to short-term attachments. And this is what we see in Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita when he surrenders to Krishna. Yet Shreyasya Nishchitam Bruhitan Me. Tell me clearly, what is Shreya? I don't know. I'm confused about my duty. He has the humility to admit that his realization of the shastras that he's quoting is incomplete. And he surrenders to Krishna. So that's where it comes to. The demigods have sort of done this, and therefore, as the Acharyas have pointed out, Krishna is sort of pleased with them. So we are to learn from this. Any questions or comments? Yes, Archita Prabhu. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Archita Prabhu has nicely pointed out that when Indra refers to Diti as his auntie, respectfully, it's also literally true, because after all, pretty much anyone that you can perceive, and a lot of them that you can't perceive, they're all the sons of Kashyapa Muni, whether through Aditi or through Diti, or he had more than one wife. So all living beings in the creation, including all these demigods, they're all coming from Kashyapa Muni. A good point. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhu, it's commonly recommended that when we're offering prayers to the Lord, we should repeat the prayers offered by the Lord's pure devotees, and the Lord's more pleased to accept these than our own authored ones.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit about why that is?
Well, we don't really want to gain the goal that the demigods are asking for here. We don't really want to have their attitude, although they have some very useful things to point out that we don't know. It's sometimes those who are fond of interfaith preaching, they may remind us that there are spiritual practitioners or religious practitioners of other traditions and other faiths who are actually more advanced in that process or on that path than we are on our own. And in this way, we can appreciate the superiority of the devatas, and as the whole point that the Acharyas are pointing out with these verses is that they do have knowledge. Krishna himself has pointed out that they are imbued with a great deal of knowledge and awareness of the Lord's glory. We can learn that. That's valid. You can learn something from anyone, but you can't learn everything from just anyone. You see? So we can learn from these devatas even though we are not to emulate their attachments and their goals. But they have said many valid things, and we can definitely learn from those. However, not only are we to repeat the prayers of notable personalities, but particularly we should repeat those prayers of the personalities that we choose to emulate. In bhakti yoga, you know, especially as if we get more advanced and into the realm of bhava bhakti, for example, at that point, one is forced to make some choices. Actually, at every point in bhakti, one is forced to make choices. But right now, our choices are very basic. Shall I be a demon or shall I be a devotee? That's the basic choice for most of us. Shall I identify with my body or shall I meditate and think about and chant some of these prayers so that my Atma Smriti is awakened? This is our choice at the present time, but at some point we're going to have to choose. Do I want to follow a devotee such as, for example, Bhishma Dev, or would I rather follow a devotee such as Lalita Devi? You see? So our acharyas generally are coming in the line of Adidasa, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur pointed out yesterday. And the goal of most Gaudiya Vaishnavas is going to be this Madhurya Rasa in the wake of the gopis. What is that verse? Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesh Tanayastad Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadhu vargena ya kalpita. According to Srinath Chakravarti Thakur, the mode of worship which was conceived by the gopis is the foremost. And they're worshipping the son of the king of Vraja as the foremost deity, and the foremost holy place is his dham. Srimad Bhagavatam pramanamamalam premapumartho mahan. The spotless Purana is Srimad Bhagavatam, which can give us the topmost goal of life, which is prema, beyond even dharma artha kama moksha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu matamidam tatra adarona para. We don't have such high regard for other things, he says. This is the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we follow that. Is that okay? Yes, Swavas Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class. My question would be that if we back up, we see that the real cause here was because of the offense by Indra and, of course, all the demigods following him to the spiritual master Brihaspati. As we move on, we kind of like lose Brihaspati somewhere. I mean, you know, he's kind of lost. And the next question would be is, the demigods were, after committing such an offense, which was, you know, if you're a devotee, you realize you can't do that to a spiritual master. Here they committed this great offense, and they're qualified to directly approach the Supreme Lord to request something for, you know, him to do for them.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how all that...
Well, this question is actually very profound, and it's pregnant with several other questions.
Yeah.
They were qualified to approach the Supreme Lord, but not in the capacity of devotees. They were approaching him in their capacity as devatas. And therefore, they were making prayers like this, please kill our enemy. That's all they could appreciate in his association, despite the fact that they were in his association. Now, going back to the point about how all this is generated from the offense to Brihaspati, I think that's arguable, because this is going anadi karma, we say. The karma of the eternal cycle of actions and reactions is going on forever and ever. I was looking at this and considering this issue of judgment that we've discussed and trying to figure out who's at fault here. Is Indra at fault? He created all these demigods to begin with out of the... Daksha actually created all these demigods, including the Adityas and the Vasus and everyone else who's descending from Kashyap Muni. But Indra has offended his spiritual master, but that's not the first time that he's offended someone, even in this passage. I mean, depending on how you define it. But and similarly, Vritrasura, we can say that, you know, maybe he's guilty because he's coming here and going to attack. He just springs out of the fire in attack mode. But he's also got a history that's really a little more subtle than it would seem at face value. The devatas may not be aware of that at this point. All they know is that here's a big angry demon trying to kill us, they thought. And he was a demon, literally. So it's really not so easy to trace out what's the cause and what's the effect here, I think. I mean, that's... Anybody else want to say something to that? I'm happy to hear it. But these things are very, very complicated. Just as you have 33 million devatas, depending on how you define them, so you can look at this passage and try to trace out what's the origin of all this, all these problems. Here we've got a big war going on, and all these devatas are fighting, and poor Vishwarup, what about him? He did a nice thing, which he was virtually forced to do. He really didn't have a choice, because Brahma and all the other suras were encouraging me, you should do this, please. So what's he supposed to do? He had to give into this, but does that make Vishwarup guilty? It's not so easy. Therefore, I made the point that we be very careful about judging. It's really not so easy. There are so many things beyond our comprehension that are essential factors. Let those who really have a full perception be the judge. We're not in that category, and that we've quoted Indra already, or Yamaraj already. He says, even I don't know everything. Is that okay? I don't know. Anything else there? I'm sure there are other answers, but it's late now, so we'll stop. Thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
I really appreciated the point that you made about how the demigods have such easy access to Krishna, and yet this is what they're asking for.